Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Catch Good Health Radio Show with health educator and life coach Erica Hooray Butcher. We're all about health here with a life coaching twist, offering stories that will inspire and inform while laughing along the way. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, everybody. This is Erica Hooray Butcher, health educator and life coach with Catch Good Health and Catch Good Health Radio. And I'm very excited to be on the air today with Sarah Seidelman. Hi, Sarah.
Hello, Erica. I'm so happy to be here.
Aw, thank you. So Sarah is on the air with me today, and she's going to be talking about shamanism and beasties, and also about her journey from being a physician to becoming really more of a healer. I've been calling you a healer. Is that how you would describe yourself? I mean, offering as well, but I feel like you're really...
Yeah, I use that word. I call myself shamanic healer and also life coach, either one of those. But I see those processes being totally separate. But, yeah, I do both.
Okay. So shamanic healer. I love it. So before we get started talking to Sarah, I just want to share with you guys a couple of upcoming shows I have scheduled. So Wednesday, January 21st, money coach Nona Jordan's coming on to talk about finding your financial flow. And I did one of Nona's classes, and I absolutely loved it. So she's a cool chick. That's how I describe Nona. And if you're interested in learning more about it, and it's much more than just accounting. It's really getting in alignment with your finances and your life and energy work. So I'm really excited about having her come on the air. And then in February, Marquois Brunette's going to be coming on to talk about healing through music therapy. She's had a long journey with cancer, and she uses her music and her role as a music therapist to help heal people and herself, too. So those are the two shows I wanted to share with everybody. But, Sarah, thank you so much for coming on the air today. And before we started, I shared with Sarah that I am relatively new to shamanism, so my questions are really going to be more... beginner type questions. So if you guys are listening and you think that you don't know what the hell we're talking about, don't worry. It's perfect for you. But before that, I wanted to share just how we sort of connected. And both of us were trained as life coaches through Martha Beck and Martha Beck's training. So I think I ran into you at the Martha Beck Summit, which is a biannual. Yes. So every 2 years, the Martha Beck coaches get together, and it was awesome. I loved meeting everybody and seeing everybody in person. So that's how we're connected through our coach training. And I think that's all I want to say about that. Sorry. My brain totally stopped for a moment. So, Sarah, I know that you're a board-certified physician. You did surgical pathology? I think that's...
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
So
staring at a microscope for hours at a time.
I mean, that just seems like the polar opposite of what I would think you would love, which is the work that you're doing. So how did you sort of journey from staring at a microscope for a long time to doing shamanic healing and working with beasties and life coaching?
Yeah. Well, it's been interesting because I only sort of realized in the last couple of years that I think that what I'm doing now is something I long to do for a very long time. In medical school, I was confronted with certain scenarios in the hospital, you know, dealing with patients, and I had the sudden recognition that, wow, I would like to help people sort of from the level of the soul, or that was, I couldn't really articulate that, but I was recognizing that, you know, the way medicine is right now, a lot of it is quite mechanical. I mean, the best doctors figure out how to make it an art form too, but what I was, most of our training was, you know, really we're trying to rebalance the electrolytes or kill the cancer cells or, you know, fix the broken leg. And when faced with patients who were dying, for example, I was like, I don't feel I'm prepared to help these people in the way that I would like to. So fast forward, I decided to go into pathology thinking I would sidestep that challenge. And I went into pathology and I loved it, you know, for years. It wasn't like it was a second best choice. It was really what I was driven into and I loved it. I had a huge passion for it. But after practicing that for about 20 years, just over time I started just getting these little niggling thoughts that there were things that I wanted to do. I wanted to work, you know, shift the way I was working. We were very disease-based. Of course, pathology is the study of disease. And so it was all about identifying disease, which is important. But I started realizing I was getting more interested in what creates health for people. How do we create vitality and vibrancy for people? And so that's kind of how I ended up taking a sabbatical. And the next thing you know, I was in Martha Beck coach training, and I was like, I don't think I can go back to medicine. And it was a little bit of a longer road, you know, more complex than that. But eventually I just decided to leave medicine altogether. And what I discovered on that sabbatical while I was doing the coach training was shamanism, which I really had never even heard of. I mean, I maybe vaguely had heard about what a shaman was.
Right.
Very vaguely, like seen an image in a movie or something.
My friend, when I think of shamans, I think of like a man in Tibet. You know what I mean? Like I think of somebody far away, like either in a cave or on the beach and in a robe. That's
in a robe, a really awesome robe.
Yes. Right, a red robe.
Yeah.
It has to be red. Yeah. So you started out with you were just beginning in that world as well. That's amazing. Okay.
And how it started for me was, and I didn't stumble directly into shamanism, but when I was on my sabbatical, I started spending a lot more time in nature. I was just walking my dog out in the woods because I finally, after being in medicine forever and I have four kids, like I finally had some breathing room and I went out and would walk the dog and I started feeling so much better. I mean, I was kind of exhausted and overwhelmed and kind of just kind of at a crossroads in my life, I guess, just feeling confused. What the heck am I supposed to do? I don't know what's going on, but I don't feel this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And I started connecting with nature, feeling better. And then I stumbled into a book about animal totems, which is, and we can talk more about animal totems, but, you know, a totem is just, an animal totem is really the idea that certain animals that cross our path in our lifetime, you know, have significant meaning for us and come bearing messages and come bearing also, I might say, strength and power. You know, they help us to be more vital in our life. And I was like, that is like the craziest thing. I've never heard of such a thing. I mean, this made no sense. Because coming from medicine, I was like, what? I mean, it just was so absurd, you know. But as I started reading about it, I was like, you know, I'm so lost right now. I'm gonna play with this. And so what I did is I just started noticing what animals were showing up for me, wild animals in particular. And as I explored what those messages were, they were so helpful to me. And we can talk, too, about how to get those messages yourself. But it just transformed my life. And eventually that concept really is one of the concepts that's rooted in shamanism. And when I talk about shamanism, it's sort of, I'm referring to what many people call core shamanism. And these are practices that are universal or nearly universal all over the globe. And so, you know, for example, the Aborigines, the Aborigine people, you know, who live in Australia might, they see the world in a way that animals, humans, the earth, that we're all interconnected and we're all interdependent on each other. Mm-hmm. And they use this tool of, they use, just as cultures all over the world use, some kind of percussion to connect with the spirit worlds. And so you might use a drum.
Okay.
In Australia, they might use click sticks or a didgeridoo. If you go to Brazil, you might have them drumming, or people might be using plant medicine. What I've learned to use is just drumming and rattling. So the shaman is one who basically can walk, you know, walks between two worlds. They walk and are connected to the spirit world, but they also walk in this world. And so even though we might think of them being out in caves, hopefully shamans are actually firmly rooted in their communities, like helping people out or helping their communities to kind of find balance. Yeah, so it's a lot to discover. But basically what shamanic healing is really healing the spiritual aspect of whatever's going on for a person. So it might be that they have hepatitis or they have lupus or they have, sore knees, you know, a real physical, manifested something going on. Or it might be that they just feel stuck or they've felt lost ever since a certain person, died who they were close to. Or they feel depressed. All these might be reasons why you might go see a shamanic practitioner. And what happens is when a client comes to me is we talk about what it is that's going on with them and what they would like, you know, what they want to ask for, what they need help with. And then I call upon my loving and compassionate spirit. So these are, and again, this may sound strange if this is the first time you're hearing it, but loving and compassionate spirits that I've got relationships with that I've built over time. And these spirits just want nothing but to help us on our journey here on the earth, which is not easy. If any
right.
of you people have noticed, life is not always easy. It's wonderful, but it's challenging.
It's a challenge,
and they
that's
will,
for sure.
Yes, and the spirits will come around and they'll, you know, make a suggestion of what kinds of healing this person might benefit from. So it might be something called soul retrieval, for example, or it might be a power animal retrieval, and we can talk about a little bit about those. Many shamans across the globe right now feel that, or I've heard this said and written that, you know, they feel that the biggest cause of disease right now and sort of misery for humans is soul loss. And the idea in shamanism is that, you know, when we are conceived and come to this planet or, you know, we come to the earth, we're, you might imagine like our souls being like this golden ball of perfect light. But over time, we have different traumatic events happen to us. And it can start as early as when you're in the womb. And traumas might be, you know, a car accident, literally a trauma, or somebody, something else, you know, surprising and shocking happens. We lose somebody we love. We may give part of our soul to another person, which is out of, sometimes we do that out of love and compassion, although it's never really helpful to that person because our soul's power only operates within us, so it's really inert with other people. But sometimes people do that out of love, you know, and compassion for another person.
Mm-hmm.
So what the
trying to help
shamanic healing does is, yeah, it restores those lost parts of the soul back to the person, which is really when you have all your soul's power, you are vital and you're enthusiastic and you approach your life in that manner. And I call that like living stoked, you know. I think you just said stoked right before we got on the line.
It.
And I love that word because it's like, yeah. When we're stoked, yeah, things can still be tough, but we're like, okay, I'm ready to get, I need to do, I know what I need to do, and I'm going to go do that. Take care of business, whatever that is.
Yeah. Yep.
The other common, a pretty common healing and would be to have a power animal restored to somebody. So the other kind of interesting concept in shamanism, and these are concepts, and I think our words kind of fail us because this is really quite mysterious stuff, but we have to use words to try to explain it.
Yeah, you know, I've had that experience many times where I've tried to articulate something on a spiritual level, and there are actually no words that can actually describe it. So you're sort of caught between two worlds, trying to, you know what you experience, but you can't say it. Yeah, crazy.
Exactly.
Not crazy, but yeah, I hear you on that.
So the other idea is that, and we can talk about this a little bit more, is that when we do come to this planet again, there are guardian spirits watching over us. And in particular, and it depends on what culture you look at, but there's the idea that there is an animal spirit that walks with us on our path. And, you know, many people call this a power animal. I call it a core beastie because
I love the word
beast because it also includes mythological characters like, or beasties like dragons and basilisks and other wonderful creatures, unicorns. So this animal walks with us in our life, and when we listen to them and we sort of act in a way that is harmonious with the way they act in the world or the way they, kind of their skill set and their strengths, then we too will be able to walk sort of powerfully on our own path. And these spirits sort of have their own free will. So sometimes, you know, they will wander away from a person. Sometimes that's because the person is not listening to their advice. And just like humans, you know, the spirits want to be listened to. They're like, listen, if you're not picking up the phone after the fifth time, you know, I'm not going to, you know, hang around. So sometimes, somebody will present, and often it's somebody who is feeling depressed. That's a common symptom of that often the spirits will recommend having a power animal retrieved for them or a core beastie retrieved for them. And so the shamanic healer would bring that spirit, find a spirit that's willing to volunteer itself and bring that back to that person. And then that person, if they live and honor that spirit, life gets pretty good. And that's really what happened for me, that really started helping me to get back on my path and find my way sort of in the dark from what the hell am I doing? I know I'm not supposed to be in medicine anymore, but what am I supposed to, you know, what is my highest, where am I supposed to be going and how can I get there?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I connected with an animal that helped me.
One of the questions that you have on your website that I've seen in the past, and I think you've shared it on Facebook a few times, is the question, how good are you willing to let it get? And every time I read that, I'm like, oh, that is so powerful. That is so powerful and reminds you that really a lot of times we're holding ourselves back. And it sort of reminds me of Marianne Williamson's quote about how we're not so much fearful of the dark, but we're fearful of the light and our own power, which I think is a real problem. I mean, I know I've experienced issues with that too. And so every time I wanted to thank you for that, because every time I see that question, it sort of stops me in my track. I'm like, ooh, I love that.
And it's such a salty question. I mean, I usually don't say it to people, of course, when they're feeling suffering and, you know, life is really hard. It can be a little rough.
Right.
But if we ask ourselves that question or we're willing to, it can be quite interesting. And, from the shamanic point of view, shamans all over the globe basically believe that we are dreaming our lives. You know, we're dreaming our world into being. We're dreaming our own experiencing. We're co-creating with other people. It's not to say that we can totally control the outcome of our life, but it is up to us to intend good things, and it is up to us to decide what we would like to create. And, if that intention is a very good and wonderful intention for many people, the spirits like to jump in and help us to make that happen, because they are interested in, you know, helping this whole planet, you know, elevate itself, I guess, for lack of a better phraseology. Yeah, that comes from that. And that's sort of what I discovered. I was like, damn it, maybe nobody will let me quit my job. And I realized, wow, maybe I'm the only person who won't let me quit my job. You know, at the time when I was thinking about leaving medicine.
I can imagine how, I mean, you put a lot into getting your degree to be a doctor. So I could only imagine what the process that you had to go through to come to that conclusion.
Yeah, it was definitely a process, and I couldn't have done it without a lot of love and support from the beasties and from all the humans in my world that supported me. So I think that's one thing, is that we all need a lot of love and support to do these scary things that we must do for our own soul to, find its way.
Yes, when we have to take those big leaps.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and... Yeah, we might want to talk about, I don't know, maybe you have some more questions about, or maybe I should just wrap up by saying, but so shamanic healing tends to be subtle, and sometimes it can be repetitive, but often people experience a feeling of lightness and feeling more empowered in their life, or, improvement in their medical condition. Many different things can happen. And so it's just really, it's a really interesting modality, and I absolutely love the work I do, and it's been very helpful for me. So,
well, I do have a question for you.
Yes.
So, and coming from as a person who's had chronic illness, and I mean, I've been able to heal from a lot of it, but then other little things pop up, and so mine are all autoimmune related. But when you mentioned earlier about, and clearly there's so much chronic illness, I think like 50% of, if I'm remembering the stats correctly, 50% of the population has at least one chronic condition that they manage, and a very large percent have more than one, like it's 30 or some percent have more than one, and clearly with the food and just all of the environmental factors and what we eat and how hard it is to be healthy, especially in the majority of the country, it's no wonder that we were having all these physical issues. But you had shared about how shamans sort of are in between the physical and the soul world, or could see them both. and help people, and about physical, about illness being manifested physically. So my question is, when illness is manifested physically, I've seen a lot of people do a lot of work and are really, and myself included, and are really in a different space, but the illness persists. Is there, I know myself, I've had conversations with several people about this, and we try to reconcile how you do all of this work and then the physical still stays. So my feeling, and tell me where I'm wrong and tell me what you think about this, but my feeling, well, clearly we're also talking about shamanism and how that would help. But my feeling is once it's manifested, it feels to me it has sort of legs of its own. It really becomes a physical thing. I'm trying to remember what my question was.
I see what you're saying, like the timeline. And it's just funny, I was just hearing somebody talking about this yesterday. Like sometimes, you know, a client will come and say, you know, I've had rheumatoid arthritis for, you know, 25 years and I am ready to be done with it. You know, I've struggled with it, I've hated it, I've done this, but now I've worked on it and I know it has something to do with feeling that I'm not worthy of a, you know, living pain free or, you know, they've really done a lot of personal work and searching. And sometimes people want like an instant cure. And let me just byline with the fact that
Sarah.
Well, and not to say that an instant cure is not possible. What I tell people is, you know, we can ask for a miracle, you know, and the spirits will give us what we need. And I will say that I have experienced miracles, particularly when people are working in groups to heal someone. So I know of a person who is a fellow healer who was diagnosed with a genetic, so something in medicine we always think of as a fixed problem. Like so far we haven't been able to figure out how to fix genetic problems besides replacing something that's missing, if it's an enzyme, which was in his case. So he presented with a chronic pulmonary condition. So he had the genetic test was positive. He was homozygous. He was taking the enzyme. He slightly improved, but really he was on, you know, his doctors basically told him this is a chronic condition and, you know, things are just getting worse and you've got to take this expensive enzyme, blah, blah, blah. So he came to this shamanic gathering and there were 25 or 30 people. And so everybody journeyed to, you know, we were drumming and everybody journeyed to their spirits to ask for healing for him. He went home and his, first of all, he asked his doctor, will you please, you know, recheck things. I did this and I know it's ridiculous, but I want to recheck these things. And I'm probably going to get some of the details wrong, but
look, I had a doctor who laughed at me because I did a gluten-free diet. I can't imagine what a doctor would say if you told them that you went to a shamanic healer and a group of people were doing drumming for them. Yeah, I can only imagine what he went through. Poor guy.
Long story short, there was no genetic abnormality. No. He was able to wean off the enzyme, and eventually his
alpha-1
antitrypsin restored to normal levels. So there situations where these things happen, and his is one of many, many stories. And I love telling these stories because really the shamans know that we must tell these miracle stories. You know, we have to tell these because we all need to be able to believe in them because that's part of it. So, but I always, you know, tell people that we don't know what's going to happen, but we just need to be open to seeing what happens. And sometimes the healing comes in a different way, or sometimes it comes in a timing that maybe we want it to come today, but it's not coming for 6 weeks. But we stay open and we listen to whatever the wisdom is, you know, whatever that is. And in soul retrieval, often people will be asked, it's kind of a two-way street sometimes with soul retrieval. So a soul part, for example, maybe that left you in childhood, let's just say, for example, that soul part may be willing to come back, but it wants something specific to be honored. So maybe I had a client once that, you know, was the soul part was like, I'm happy to come back, but I need you to promise me you will never put yourself in a situation where you are the only one doing all the work, kind of a thing. So sometimes something's required of the person, and that requires us to change. And, you know, another example would be an animal spirit that comes to you, that is brought back to you, and it wants you to I don't know, slow down or whatever. It might have its own message for you. And so then your willingness to heed that message, even though it may seem contrary, you know. And I always tell people with all this stuff, it's so important to be, number one, be skeptical, because this is not something that I go around saying, hey, Erica, guess what? Did you know that animals have messages for us? And you should believe that because it's true. It's something for you to discover, and it is perfect for skeptics and to be skeptical. So to put everything through your own truth filter, you know, with everything that you're ever told. What feels right to you? What do you sense of truth for yourself?
Absolutely.
And so, and we could talk about, well, I don't know if you have another question. We could talk about animal totems and how to work with that yourself just to discover who your core beastie is.
Well, I was going to ask you who Alice the Elephant is.
Oh, yes.
I thought, can we
That's
go
a good
into
lead
it
in.
From there?
Perfect. Yes.
Okay. But who is Alice the Elephant?
So
she's
Alice
very popular.
The Elephant is one of my loving and compassionate spirits. Now, some spirits are really quite shy and really don't want the world to know about them. And in some cultures, shamanic cultures, you know, it would be very bad form to speak aloud about your spirits, your helping spirits, or your power animal, your core beastie. But Alice, every time I visit with her, she's like, I want more people to know about me. She really enjoys the limelight. And so I have made it. In fact, maybe it was two summers ago, she's like, I want you to write an essay about me and to talk about how I help, you know. And so I did that. And she is an elephant, obviously. And really what some of the strengths and sort of the teachings that she's given to me are really wonderful things. And by the way, you don't need to journey or listen to a drumbeat or a rattle to learn things from the wild, you know, from the wild animals that are showing up in your life. You can also just watch videos on YouTube, read stories and mythology about animals. There's so many ways to access their wisdom and knowledge. But Alice is basically taught me a lot about, you know, the kind of patience that elephants have with each other, particularly with the young and those who are struggling in some way. And I think that was a powerful message for me that, you know, that I could be patient with myself and that I could be patient, you know, just in general. I could cultivate that because I think that was something I didn't have within myself. And for myself or necessarily for other people, you know, because I was like, damn it, the world is hard. And, and just the unbelievable, just unconditional love that elephants sort of offer to each other in their you know, families and with their babies and with their immediate family in particular, just supporting each other in difficult times or in distressing situations. And also, Alice is, like, incredibly playful and hilarious. So when I visit with her, she is often, you know, for example, when I was writing one of my books, I was like, Alice, I don't know, you know, I'm kind of worried if I tell them all these personal stories, people are just going to be like, ugh, you know, this is terrible, or, you know, people won't like it. And how can I know this is really good that I'm writing? And she grabbed me, and we, like, went flying off this cliff, and we were, like, in this free fall, which sounds horrible, except for that when I looked over at her, she was like laughing and like spinning around in the air and having a good old time. And basically, it was a metaphorical message for me, like, you got to let go, girl. And there's no, you don't know what the outcome is. You've got to take a risk here and just put yourself out there. And so the spirits are like that. They're very, there's a lot of humor, there's a lot of metaphor, which really is how, you know, our soul likes to communicate with, you know, the soul likes to kind of communicate to us. So she's just, and she's very, she really, that how good are you willing to get, let it get, really comes from interactions that I had with her. You know, she's very sort of funny and salty. And she, one time I said, well, can you give me a message? I want to, you know, share it with people to inspire them. And she said, be still and know that I am Alice. Which
oh
was,
my
you know,
goodness.
Her play on, you know, be still and know that I am God. And I think, you know, in shamanism, all these spirits are really just facets of God or of the One. So, you know, whether you pray to Jesus or you pray to an elephant that you visit on a daily basis, you know, it doesn't matter, but it's just that friendship, that bond that you forge with the divine, you know, that is so helpful.
Yeah.
Or can be.
So for people listening who are interested
yes.
but don't know what to do, how do we discover our animal totem? How
yeah.
would people start to discover that?
So there's a couple different ways, and I'll talk about one of the ways just in the interest of time. But
sure.
one way is just how I began was noticing what animals are just showing up in your life on a daily basis. So I call them guest species. They might come for 5 minutes. They might show up over and over again. Like for 3 weeks, you've got like red-winged blackbirds that won't stop, you know, squawking around your trees in the yard. Those are animals that often come just for a period to help us with a particular issue that's going on. And in that case, it can be just nice to ask yourself, you know, what's going on with me right now? What's the main problem in the last 24 hours or the main thing that I'm struggling with? Maybe it's something to do with one of your kids. Maybe it's some issue at work. And then ask yourself, well, what is this animal doing? I mean, you know, is it flapping around? Is it lying very peacefully? You know, is it sleeping? Is it stalking? What is it doing? And how does that, what they're doing, what kind of feeling am I getting from that? And is there some way, how could that be a metaphor? You know, how could that be a message
yeah.
for me? There's a really, so that's a very just simple way to do it. And
so,
the
so
best
looking
messages
for
are the ones
species.
Yeah, so that's searching for guest species. And then if you're curious about a core beastie, which is a lifetime kind of, again, this animal that comes to sort of walk with us through life, often over a mm-hmm. lifetime, you can, one thing you can do is you can ask yourself, you know, at age 7 or 8, was there a particular wild animal that you absolutely adored? That can be a hint. You can look around your house. I was talking to one person on a podcast I did for a couple of years. She's like, I just cannot figure out what my core beastie is. I just cannot. I'm like, well, take a look around your house. Do you have anything, you know, animals, you know? And she's like,
yeah.
turned around suddenly, and she realized over her mantle was this giant painting of a wolf that had been there and is her, like, absolute
funny.
Favorite thing in the world. And, you know, but it was right under her nose. Other people, like, they've got 1,000 whale sculptures that they've been, you know, hoarding for 20 years. And it's like, gee, you know, you might want to look at the whales. So it can be sort of hiding in plain sight sometimes. And those are some
I'm
fun ways.
I'm accumulating owls. Oh, sorry. I'm accumulating owls.
Are you?
Now. People are buying
yeah.
me owls.
And when
yeah.
people give you gifts, you know, again, that could be a guest beastie for you. So that's kind of, yeah, that can be another way they come to you. And if you're really feeling daring and you've been hearing about the shamanic journey and you're interested in that, you can download, there's a free version of the app called What the Walrus Knows on iTunes. You can use it on your iPad or your iPhone.
Oh, I love it.
And from there, there's a button on there that says Discover, and I walk you through, it's a guided shamanic journey, so for you to discover who is your core beastie. And that's a wonderful way, that's the way I discovered mine the first time around, because I was so trapped up in my logical linear brain. I was like, I had a list about 20 animals long, and I had no clue how to figure it out.
Look,
so
we know
really,
what I'm going to be doing. We know what I'm going to be doing at 2:00 today. I'm going to be going and downloading your app or your,
yes.
your meditation. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So What the Walrus Knows, and people can find it on iTunes?
Yes.
Is that
and if
they
you
can,
really
okay.
are curious about more of this kind of stuff, and on there there's the $4 version, there's like 150 beasties, and on the free version I think there are 12. So it's a nice way to just play and just see, and there's some instructions on how to do, you know, how to work with them as well. And that's, I have a book too that's called What the Walrus Knows, if you want to, you know, really delve into how do I really get into this even deeper.
You know what I'm laughing about? I actually have your app on my phone.
So
I just
awesome.
Downloaded
You're
it
already ready. You're ready,
I'm ready to
go,
to go,
Erica. It's so wonderful.
Yesterday I was somebody suggested an online book about energy that was being offered for free. And I went to download it yesterday, and when I hit download, it said I had already downloaded it yesterday. I was like, this is getting a little weird.
It's Groundhog Day.
2 days in a row, I have what I needed. It is.
Well, and
that's perfect.
I also tell people that, so if you discover a beastie that you're going to, you know, just play with this idea and work with them, it can be fun to go to YouTube and watch some video of them, you know. It can be fun to see, well, what is their diet? Like, what do these animals, you know, subsist on? I had a person that I knew once who got manatee, and she admitted later that she felt much better when she was eating, like, a diet of mostly greens, which is really what manatees eat, and, you know, she sort of neglected that. And so when she started eating more like a manatee, that helped her. And so literally it can be kind of these literal, like, actual clues. And there's just so many neat ways they can – and one of the animals that I had the most fun with, probably this was like 2 or 3 years ago, was the honey badger, because it seemed for a lot of people, I think the honey badger became a guest beastie, because there's this whole, I'm sure you've seen the video online, perhaps you have not, with 80 million views or something, but the honey badger is this incredibly fearless beastie, and it really does not care what you think about it. And so anyway, I think sometimes there are many of us getting messages from all at the same time.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. So exploring animal totems, people can keep an eye out for guest beasties. You could explore your core beasties that have been around for a lifetime. So wild animals that you adored around age 7 and 8. So why would it be 7 and 8? Is that when you to connect to beasties?
That's when we have not been so hammered down by the school systems and by our parents and by the culture to stop sort of believing in magic. And we're often, little kids in particular, are very connected to, you know, the divine. They're closer to, or, you know, I like to think they're much closer to that world than we are, you know. And so they often know exactly who that animal is. So it's really neat if you're a parent, is to ask your young kid, who is your favorite animal, your favorite wild animal? And often they will tell you who that is. And when they're doing that, when they do that, really they're telling you something sacred about themselves. And that is, you know, something really sweet and very personal. So it wouldn't be something that we would want to, you know, bandy about or ever use against a person in times of parental frustration. But it's really, for example, one of my children, you know, confessed that he was a big cat lover. And it's really interesting because it suddenly made me understand, and me being, let's just say, imagine me being a pachyderm, okay, so elephant mother, and then you've got, like, more of a cat, large cat-like child, right? Hard for me to understand, like, elephants are gregarious, and they're very social, and they're running around, and, they're getting all passionate and emotional, and they're, like, you know, rolling in the mud. And these, you know, large cat really wants to, this particular large cat likes to spend a lot of time in a tree solitary. You know, that's their mojo. That's their modus operandi. That's how they recharge their batteries. Then when they hunt, you know, so all these are like these beautiful metaphors. And so it really helped me to understand and really embrace who he was and what he needed without him telling me a lot. But I suddenly kind of understood a lot of things. And I think it's so great to do with your girlfriends or your spouse. If you can, sometimes those are with our spouse, it can be really challenging because, you know, we've got baggage from whatnot. And so it can be, but it's so, with my good friends, it's such a treasure. I mean, we all know kind of what animals we work with, and it's a really sweet thing because I think there's a lot of, like, respect and understanding that comes from that, that we wouldn't have gotten without it, and it's really fun.
So I have to ask a question. It's gonna crack me up. So one of my good friends is not an animal person at all. So if somebody's listening and they're not into animals, then where do they go with animal totems? Or is there a different animal? Like, what, you know what I mean? Like, non-animal people.
Yeah. Well, it might not be their thing. Also, like, a lot of people say, well, I don't like any animals, but I do like my dog, you know. And I always tell people, dogs are fabulous. Like, they're some of the most helpful teachers we have. So definitely study your dog and notice what it's doing, because I think they know how to live. You know, they have very few limitations on their own joy and living their life the way they need to.
Yeah.
But if you're dog obsessed but have no wild animals, I definitely invite people to check out wolf, because it's really the closest wild animal.
Oh.
The thing is about wild animals is they're not living under the thumb, and their vibe is not really impacted by humans like domestic animals are. So, you know, your cats and dogs are fabulous, but they are really dependent on us for their food, for whether we're going to let them out or not, or, you know, all these things.
Yes.
So wild animals live completely surrendered to their own desires and what they want and what they need.
Mm.
And that is like, that is another huge thing that I've learned from animals. I mean, one of the first animals was that was a guest beastie for me was the walrus, which I ran into this, it's a long story, but a taxidermied walrus on the wall, and I was just like obsessed with it.
Oh,
I don't know why. It was just strange. It really captivated my attention. So it doesn't matter how the animals come. They can be taxidermied. They can be like on a magazine. It could be a coffee mug somebody hands to you. But really, when I started exploring it, the walrus was about, you know, that I could, that walrus is really basically nobody messes with a walrus. They're sort of apex predators. They're not, like, nobody, maybe a polar bear might, like, get in some sort of battle with them, but basically, the message I got from them was, like, do your thing. You won't have any competition, you know, when I was really feeling scared about making a living doing something other than medicine. You know,
yeah.
Do your thing. All will be well. And particularly the walrus, they loved, like, lay around on the beach and just basically, like, be gregarious and party down.
Yeah.
And for me,
oh,
at
funny.
That time, that was something I needed. So that's one thing that's neat about animals is that they sort of, they do their thing. And I think humans, we need to, that can be really helpful for us to connect and do what do we need and how can
yeah.
we get it?
Yeah. Yeah. Quickly. Now,
yeah.
So before we started, you talked about a divination. I'm sorry. Now I'm totally
yeah.
not saying it correctly.
Divination. Yeah.
You were going to do an exercise. Thank you. You're going to do an exercise
yeah.
with us. Do we have enough time? We have like 4 minutes
I
left.
Think so. I think so.
Okay.
If we do it quickly, yeah, that would be fine. So this is a great way to play. So if you're listening to the recording and you have a question, a great question, so this is tapping into the shamanic concept that everything is alive and can speak to us, and, you know, that things can, hidden information can be shown to us that can help us. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to formulate an open-ended question. It could be like, how can I, you know, serve myself and the world in the highest way today? Or it could be something like, how do I get my kid to go to bed at night? This isn't working for me, you know, this is staying up till 10. Whatever it is, an open-ended question, how can I, is a great way to start it. And
okay.
it should be something you don't know the answer to. So let's formulate our questions. Once you've got a question, you want to set your intention that you're going to get helpful information from a beastie that we're going to, and we're going to do this using the app, so this is really fun, on the divine, using the divine button.
Oh.
So
okay.
are you ready with a question? Do you have a question?
I do have a question.
Perfect.
Do you want me to share
okay.
my question?
No, you don't have to
or
share.
Do
we
I
can
just
we can do it after
okay.
if you want. So,
okay.
Here we go. We're asking for a beastie to be helpful and help Erica with her question and help me with mine. Here we go. And I'm putting I press the button on the app, which I actually have it on silence mode because we're on the radio, but you normally it makes lots of fun animal sounds. Okay, so this
okay.
is what we got. The crane has shown up. The beautiful crane. And I'm just going to read the three lines. So this is, you know, basically some just some energetic hints from the crane that I wrote down and interpreted from my study of cranes. So the first line is, project your voice, enjoy your loud resonance, whoop, and send your messages far. The second line is, alternate, get with the gang or retreat alone together, both invigorate. And then the third is access your assets. Use what you've got. Connect the dots to it. Identify a new constellation.
Oh, wow.
So these are just some fun, some kind of energetic ideas. And often I'll push the button on this when I'm struggling with how to approach a particular situation or just, you know, asking a question.
So for people,
yes.
you can go to the app, hit Divine, is that right? That's what it
yeah,
it says,
from
Divine.
The front page of it, yep. And it'll guide you through and help you formulate your question, and then you push this little button, and
oh, yeah.
the beasties will show up for you.
Well, this is so cool. So, yeah, you hit, okay, I'm doing it now.
Oh, yeah, so if you did your own.
Tells you to take a few deep breaths, center yourself, intend that you will get helpful information, and focus on your question, and then tap on ask, mm-hmm. and then you'll get a beastie and words of wisdom from them. Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
And it's a gorgeous app, I have to say. All of your graphics are gorgeous.
Thank you. And I always tell people, take what you like and leave the rest. You know, if any of it helps, wonderful. Thank the crane. And if not,
right.
then that's okay, too. Be skeptical. It's all good.
Yeah, I feel like it's important to be skeptical and sort of take it in as you need to. So really quick, we're going to lose people who are listening live.
Yes.
So if they want to learn more, they can go to followyourfeelgood.com, right? That's your website?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
And I have a Facebook page under, well, Sarah Seidelman. But that's really hard to spell.
And it's
S-E-I-D-E-L-M-A-N-N. Yes.
Okay. Perfect. So followyourfeelgood.com, which I love that too. And it's a gorgeous website and a gorgeous app. I always love your graphics. I mean,
thank you.
It's very fitting. It really fits when I think of you. It totally matches you. So,
Thank you. I love seeing
that. So, yeah. Well, Sarah, we're at 45 minutes, which blows my mind.
It's over.
Because it goes so fast.
It does.
It's already over. So I loved learning from you today and all of your insights. I loved hearing about your journey from medicine to shamanic healer and life coach. And I'll definitely get in touch with you because I've been wanting to work with you for quite a while. Just timing-wise, it hasn't worked out. But I'll definitely be in touch with you about that. And I'm totally going to be doing this and tinkering with my app and trying to learn who my beasties are because that just
Wonderful.
Seems right to me. That feels really good to me, and it feels like a lot of fun.
Awesome.
So thank you. Do you have anything
thank
coming
you so
up?
Much.
Well, why don't you share your books? It's What the Walrus Knows and...
What the Walrus Knows and then Born to Freak, A Salty Primer for Irrepressible Humans is my other book about being diagnosed with ADD and sort of my journey. It's part of my journey from leaving medicine, which I'm working on a third book that is a more comprehensive volume. But there's a lot of advice from Alice, which is salty and hilarious. And that's a lot of funny stories from my life. Yes, an irreverent life coaching tome.
And you mentioned What the Walrus Knows, so if people were interested in that, how is that different from your other book?
What the Walrus Knows is really about how to work with animal totems and some stories and how to deepen some of these practices and really connect. And then in the back, there's a huge dictionary that has 149 different animals. And you can use the book as a divination tool, so you could, ask for set your intention if you're not a techie person and ask your, for a beastie to show up and use the book, the back of it that way. And it really talks about deepening the practices, how to use it with your kids, how different tools for working with your dreams that have animals in them. All kinds of goodies are sort of packed in there.
And
it's beautiful and illustrated. Yes.
Yeah, the app is gorgeous. So if you wanted to get a feel for the book, download the app and you'll be amazed, I have to say.
Thank you.
Okay, so perfect. Yeah, so followyourfeelgood.com if people want to learn more about me. It's catchgoodhealth.com. And Sarah, thank you so, so, so much. I really appreciate
you're
you
so welcome. It was a delight.
All.
Yeah,
aww,
well,
thank you,
Erica.
Yep, take good care. And thanks, guys, for listening. I really appreciate it. We'll talk again soon. Bye, Sarah.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. For more information about Erica, her health education and life coaching services, or Catch Good Health, please visit catchgoodhealth.com. And don't forget, good health is contagious and you can pass it on.